Pardon me. Okay, today's daf we learn is daf Nun Dalet. Fine, so let's begin. So halacha tet. So Mara says, Mishnah says, get musa b'Yisrael kasher. So a get musa, that's a get where they forced the husband to give it. And they do it, if it's done b'Yisrael, meaning in a Jewish court and the like, then it's kasher. If it's done in a non-Jewish court, meaning like the secular court to decide, okay, let's pick this guy up until he gives a get, then it's pasul. Okay. Then it says, however, the Hagoyim choptin utvrim lo as ose aser mashi Yisrael omelacha. Doesn't mean that you can't use, say, non-Jewish authorities to do, or not such authorities, I shouldn't say that, non-Jewish high thugs to help you influence this man to give the get. But when they do so, they have to be saying, this is really under instruction, do exactly like the Beit Din of Israel are telling you to do. Okay? That's what it says to be here. Okay? Now the Gemara says, we're going to stress this soon. So get hamusa, Misrael kasher v'agoyim or begoyim pasul. By the way, the Rishon doesn't address this, but again, it has to be leratzon. If you remember, the husband has to want to give the get. So we sort of kofin oto ad shomer rotzeani. That's what I think we mentioned Bavli, that we sort of beat him up until he is willing to do so, right? He willingly wants to do so. Ah, is someone really willing to do so if their arm is being broken? Isn't it because their arms are broken? And the Bavli says no, but his real ratzon deep down is to do the right thing. He just needs his external resolve to be worn down, and that will come through. That's the way the Bavli addresses it, but that's not really the topic of the
And
Yerushalmi.
the Bavli doesn't mean his real rotzon, meaning the rotzon of his neshama, as
Mashu
opposed to
kazed,
his.
exactly, bidyuk, bidyuk, exactly. His real deep ratzon is to do the right thing. So all he's just got all these other external, if you like, blockages that is allowing that to come through the floor, and sometimes through being put through a bit of a discomfort that will allow it to shine. Okay, but it doesn't matter. Let's learn that. Oh, it does matter, of course. But let's look at the Yerushalmi now. Gemara says, "Get a musab Israel kasher v'goyim pasul." So Shmuel Amar, and this piece we saw in the in Yevamot, actually, just a small piece here. It says Shmuel Amar pasul. Yes, if it's done by way of like a non-Jewish court, then it's pasul. However, uposel b'kuhuna. Nonetheless, if she then the husband dies and doesn't get a get, should still be pasul kuhuna. It has what's called, we refer to this being a reach get. Now, why is that? So the Reb Chaim explained back in Masechta Yevamot is it's a gzeira atu get musa Yisrael. They placed a gzeira because if you say in this situation the husband was forced to give a get, we say it's not a get, then people say there's no such thing as forced gets. So because of that, they said, look, it is pasul, but nonetheless, we have to still make a pasul kuhuna. We have to leave some sort of mark so that people don't get confused. Now Shmuel says as well. Shmuel says, okay, when do we employ this coercion? So Shmuel Amar ein maaseh ela l'psulim. So only l'psulim, meaning when the relationships that the man's not allowed to marry this woman. Shmuel Amar ein maasim ela kagon. So let's now refining it even further. Kagon alma la kohen gadol grusha v'chutz la kohen hedyot. So these are Isurim deoraisa, meaning if it's such a marriage, that's when Beit Din will get involved and say, you've got to divorce your wife and beat her up. Beat not her up, beat him up, if he doesn't do so. However, the assumption is this only Isurim deoraisa? Because he said, Kohen Gadol, Yamana Kohen Gadol, Vagushal Kohen Hediot. And the Gemara says, one second. We see that also for the Shniot. Now, the Shniot takes all the way back to the beginning of Masechta Yevamot. And these were let's call the rabbinic extensions, the Isurim Arayot. So if it is a marriage that violates the rabbinic prohibition, this prohibition, we still force them to see the Raisa and the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, lo beginda amar Shmuel. It's not because of that, rather it's to exclude other cases. So the Reb Chaim points out that that would exclude the cases, or the Mefarshim here also explained it this way, that, for example, let's say if they were married for 10 years without having any children. Okay, so what are you meant to do? Because it's a bittul mitzvah priravia, then he should really, marry another woman, divorce and marry another woman. But in that situation, we don't force the husband to do so. Okay, we don't, because it's a bittul priravia. It's not a like a psulim, not a it's a, like it's not the issue within the issue itself. It sounds like. Alternatively, he could, in the times he could marry a wife, he wouldn't marry a wife. It's just he doesn't want to have two wives. So there's other solutions to it. So we don't do the natural don't compel. An interesting point that Reb Chaim pointed out in Yevamot is, which we see is actually the subject of the debate further down in this Gemara, which is not quoted in Yevamot, is what if he says, I don't want to support my wife? Okay. Is that another one of these situations? It says, Einu zan v'einu mefarnes. Is that another situation where we force him to. Is this another situation that's excluded by this, where it's mamash would beat him up until he divorces his wife? Okay, that's Reb Chaim says it is included, but you don't see it in the Rishonim here, and you actually see it's debated further on this Gemara. So let's continue. Another way of reading the Gemara, which the Korban Eder is reading, is rather lo beginda amar Shmuel, which is not because of this Shmuel said that, but rather lo kagon amar Shmuel. So kagon, if you look up above, says ein masim ela. By the way, the Gemara doesn't have that word kagon, but ela kagon alma la grusha. So he was saying kagon like this. It wasn't restricting it completely to Issa Doraisa, but other Issa Ishut, let's call it that. The Ibn Midrabanan. Gemara says, one second. If there's an Issa Hana'at that he says, I'm preventing her from getting Hana'at law to from like from him or to sorry to him. Then Ad Shloshim Yom, if in other words, in other words, he doesn't want to give Hana'at to his wife. And it was said for 30 days, Yamid Parnas. We can sort out our Parnas to end up supporting her. However, your Tarmi can. So this is a situation, it's not Issur Ishut, and you see quite clearly here that we compel him to divorce. We said, okay, we can put up with this situation for 30 days, but after a while you're not living with your wife normally. There's an Issur Hana'ah between the two of you, so then you should give a divorce. So the Gemara says, one second, Shamanu Shumotzi, Shamanu Shakofim. When it says all it says in that Mishnah was there was is motzi, they should get divorced, which is mashma korbaneda says shemavakshim, we just tell them to get divorced, say this is not a happy marriage, you should really let her go. But whether that Mishnah doesn't say kofin, so again it's not a proof that it's that we employ like physical coercion that broadly. Okay, now the Gemara says Rav Yirmiyah Amar Rav Israel she isu kemaase goyim pasul, meaning. Now, I'm going to explain this like the Korban Eder for this piece as well, like we normally do. The Pnimosh has a different reading. I might share it with you anyway, just if we've got time. But it says, Rav Yirmiyah says, but in the Rav, Israel she isu kema'ase goyim, which this context, ma'ase goyim, meaning using the rationale, if you like, the goyim might use to compel a husband to divorce his wife. Nonetheless, that'd be pasul, because they didn't do it kedin. But Omer, for example, ein nizan umefanes, which says, I don't want to support my wife. Okay. So it sounds like the Ein Nizan Mefarnes, according to Rav, which is the way again fits in with Reb Chaim's Perush of Sukkah and Yevamot, is not one of those cases where Beit Din would compel and beat up the man to divorce his wife. Okay. However, Tani Reb Chiya says, "V'goyim shi'isu kamaase Yisrael kasher," meaning here the explanation of the Korban is that the goyim, if they compel a man to divorce his wife. Kama'aseh Israel, meaning under the instructions of an Israel, meaning based on the ruling of Israel, then it'd be kasher. Why? Afilu Amar, even if he says, Ein Nizan Mefarnes, meaning Afilu Amar Ein Nizan Mefarnes. So this understanding, it seems to be, according to the way I've just explained the sugya, the Rav and Rav Chiya are being cholek one on the other, whether, if a husband says, I don't want to support my wife, where they can compel. Being beaten can take it to their own, to physically. Influence him and compel him to divorce his wife. Rav seems to be no, Rav Chiya seems to be yes. Okay, that's the way again the Korban is reading the sugya. What's interesting here is the Pnei Moshe, I'll just share it with you now. If you look at the Pnei Moshe reading together inside, it says Israel shisau maase goyim, meaning kolomar al yidei akum b'tchila. Maase is means that it was instigated and started by way of akum. Meaning not Jews, and they use the Jewish police, if you like, to do the beating up. Then it's pasul, and that's be'omer, meaning even if he says I'm not going to support the wife, which is really according to the rules of Israel would be grounds, but since it was executed, all the ruling and initially was done by a non-Jewish court, then we say then it would be pasul. However, I've just skipped a bit. However, if it's done initially by Israel in the beginning, then it would be obviously fine. Now, what's interesting here, according to this, there's no real machlok in Rav and Rav Chiya. According to Pnei Moshe's reading, they're really both saying the same thing. They're both agreeing that a man saying, I'm not going to support my wife, is grounds for the beitin to compel. The question is the difference, they're just bringing two different cases. Rav is talking about was initiated by a Beit Din of Goyim, which is no good, and Rav Chiya is talking about it was initiated by a Beit Din of Israel, even if a Goyim were used to exit, like to enforce the ruling. Okay, fine. Yeah, but that's the like two ways, if you like. That by the way, it's also machlokim in the Bavli regarding this particular case. But now the Gemara continues. In any event, both readings, both Panimosh and Korban Eder's readings, Rav Chiya is of the position that if the husband says, "I'm not going to support my wife," it's grounds to follow. It's a basis from which Beit Din can force the husband to divorce. The Gemara says, "Rav Chiya ba'ashiv and Rav Isi ha'mer eini zan v'fenes kofin oton ha'otzi." There you go, Mefurash. That's exactly what Rav Chiya says. That if he says, "I'm not going to support my wife," we can, the Beit Din can say, "All right, you don't give your wife, you get, we're going to break any caps." So much because. So the Gemara says, Yeremia by Kamera the Kofin, really, is this grounds to do it? That's only Isra Ishut, which is the way we started the Gemara. That's only Isra Ishut. It's just a bad practice on the husband. So the Gemara says, no, what are you talking about? Amarle, Rechia responded back. Actually, it's interesting because before Sani Rabchia and his Rechia Ba'ashi, but whatever, just to be more specific. But anyway, Amarle, Vadain Atn, meaning, are you still struggling with this concept? Imitne Reach Ra, meaning if the husband has this putrid stench that's coming out of him, right? We say coffin, we that's grounds to say that this is, and the wife can't bear living in that arrangement. We say we can coffin in that situation. It's not Isra Ishut there, but it's just the circumstance is unbearable. Nonetheless, Lo Kol Shekein, how much more so? Mipnei Chaya Nefesh. If a stench is enough for actual livelihood, Kal V'chomer be grounds, if you like, to compel it. So Rav Chizkiya, Rav Yaakov, Bar Acha says, Rav Yasa B'Shem, Rav Yochanan, Ha'omer Eini Zan Mefanes, Omrim Lo, Ozun, O Mefanes, O Ptur. Which is actually very interesting. Now, the simple understanding here is that this seems to support it. If someone says to his wife, I'm not going to support, if someone says I'm going to support, I don't want to support my wife, we say either support her, look after her, or divorce her. The simple understanding is, well, it means you're compelling to do so. But I'm afraid to say, no, this is not a compelling case. Why? Because there are other options at the disposal. We say, use other options, you know, just start supporting her, do all these other things. So there's different ways you can sort of explain the conclusion of the Gemara. Okay, beseder. Now let's learn halacha yud. Yatza shma be'ir mekudeshet, hare ze mekudeshet. So here, if a rumor goes out about a particular woman that she's mekudeshet, we're choshesh for that kiddushin. Have to explain what type of rumor that is. There are rumors all the time, but what force is there to such a rumor, or that she's mikdashet to someone? It says, and therefore she can't get married to anybody else without a get. However, then it says megureshet, hare ze megureshet, a rumor that she's divorced. Now, just to be clear here, the Korban Eder points out this is going on the previous one, meaning if a woman's fully married and there's a rumor that she's divorced, well, that's not good enough grounds. We're talking about that if there's a rumor following the Mekudesh, in other words, a Mekudeshet rumor, and then you've got a Megureshet rumor, well, that Megureshet rumor can uproot, if you like, and override that Mekudeshet rumor. Okay, that's what we're referring to. Okay, fine. Let's continue. So, but a few points. When do we have a force to such a rumor? That's provided there's no, if you like, details that might undermine it. So let's have a look. Ezu amtala, that's Giresh Ish Ploni, Giresh Ish Ploni, Ishto Al Tnai. For example, let's say he divorced his wife on condition. So in that situation, there's already a mechanism within that room, if you like, that call that undermines it, because maybe the rumor wasn't fulfilled. And similarly, Zerak l'kiddushin safek karov lo, la safek karov lo, zehu amtala. Once again, if there's a rumor, she's mekudeshet, but the basis is that he threw the case of kiddushin, sarah mekudeshet li, but it was a safek, whether it was close, that's already, if you like, a doubt within concern. We can say, look, he never reached her. Okay, so that's where it would undermine the rumor. But this whole concept of rumors we need to really sharpen. The Gemara says, "Yatzah shma be'ir mekudeshet is mekudeshet." Rayasa says, "B'shem Rabbi Yochanan." It's not just stam rumors. It sounds like it has to be. We've used in other contexts a raglayin ledavar. This is kind of the lashon of Tosfot, really, in Gittin. It says, for example, "Ne'erot dolkot v'sichot b'nei adam misichim." For example, you know, people walk by a house. There were a lot of candles lit up. In that time, they wouldn't light up a house so much unless there was some sort of simcha. And you can imagine they were singing, you know, there were people talking and things like that. And there was clearly a wedding atmosphere coming from the house. So this is a reglaim ledavar. It wasn't just a rumor. It was substantiated with, let's call it other details that seemed to support it. Okay. So I'll just show you the Korban Eder here. He says, says, "Had it none been made in Yatzah Shema Bekudeshet, Losh Shema no Kol Havara Ba'alma." It's not just a rumor. Ela Raunayar. So Neirot Dolkim Bebayit. They saw candles lit in the house. Kedesh Mekachot Shonokim Besimcha Va'Orner. What they used to do. Bnei Adam Nichnasim Viyotzim. People going in and out, in and out. Va'orim Aploni Tkasha Laploni. People going in and out, saying, "Oh, so and so got married to so and so." So there's a lot more evidence there. Okay. Now the Gemara says, one second, Hey, Rav Zira Kamei Rav Yasa. How can you say that's the base? In other words, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. In other words, how can you say that really has to be to the level where there was evidence and people going in and out of the house saying Mazel Tov and all these other things and the simchas and things like that? Because why? Because it says Ha Tanina Niyatzah Shma Bi'ir Mekudeshet Harei Zeh Mekudeshet Megureshet Harei Zeh Megureshet. So what? Let's look at the second part. The whole candle basis might make sense for Kiddushin. But how can you say the same thing by divorce? In other words, the question is, okay, a divorce, when a divorce happens, is that the candles are lit and people going in and out going, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, is it a whole bigger incident like that? So clearly not. So the basis of Girushin has to be, the threshold of a kol is clearly much lower than we first assumed. Okay? So read the comment. Ilcha gabe yatzah shma be'ir megureshet sharu ezo siman. There was no siman. Ela vaday be'kol ba'al meshamanu. It just means a room. B'nei adam vorim shintikar shasagi. That'll be enough. Some sort of rumor. Now, what about the genesis of the rumor, like the beginnings of the rumor? Let's discuss this in a moment. So Gemara now says, doesn't matter. To the matter, a little bit now. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Yosef b'shem Rabbi Yochanan nivdak. The rumor itself is actually checked. We start going, who did you hear it from? Who did you hear it from? And we go back. So it's not just a stum rumor. We want to do some research for a rumor to give it a koach of this call that has an effect. So it says nivdak Hashem v'nimtza mipi nashim mipi ktanim batel Hashem. I mean, if it goes all the way back and you find out that it originated from a nashim ktanim, someone who's not kasher leidus, then we say then we disregard it. Okay, that is now I'm explaining here like the if you like the Pnei Moshe. Okay, he says batu achara kol mi yatza v'nimtza yatza mipi nashim ktanim batel akol. Then Rav adds, Rav Amar, lo etziru ba ela ed mi piyad bilvad. Meaning, so the Pnei Moshe says, this is a meeting kai, lo etziru lismoch b'kol kiddushim o gerushim, ela ed mi piyad bilvad. Meaning, when you're relying on it, you're going back in terms of ed mi piyad, so-and-so, you know, so-and-so said to so-and-so, so-and-so, and you trace it back. Shemru ani shemati mi ploni ploni, v'oto ploni, but the person he heard from, the last person you could trace it back, went to Minatayam. Later, and we've got no way of verifying it anymore because we can't ask this Ploni. He now lives overseas. That's when it's a good call. In other words, we've traced us back as far as we can go, and now there's grounds to be concerned. That is, if you like, the position of the Pnei Moshe. Just to be clear, this whole thing of tracing about the Nashim or Piktanim, etc., Bebatel. The Tosfot in Gittin actually says that's referring to a case where there was no raglaim ledavar, where it was just based on speech. However, if there was some other raglaim ledavar, then afilu min pin nashim afilu biktanim, it might actually be okay. Okay, that's again, the thing that gets really sticky with this sugya is, and this machlok rishonim achronim and things like that, in terms of where we actually how we define where to draw the line. I mean, if you have a look at the Korban Eid, it's a completely different. You know, completely different run of the sugya. He says, "Lo etiru ba elo ed b'piyad bilvad." Now, I don't really fully understand the korban. That's what I didn't bring up first. He says, "Hard mevatling kala when you mevatel kol." That's dafka when you can check Hashem. But amru ploni shemaim ploni ploni, and they went to minatayam. It's opposite of Pnei Moshe. When he went overseas, and you go away substantiating. However, if they're here, even if they're nashim oktanim, then it wouldn't have been about to the call. Because the reason why you also mentioned this, the reason why this is difficult, because there's another Gemara, I think, in Bavli, that talks about the fact that the call of nashim, you know, that is has substance to it. Okay, so again, it's a different kind of difficulty to go into to actually really piece together. I've presented what I could at the base level. The Shari Korban is a lot more detail on this.
I don't understand. How does this not fly in the face of everything that we've learned up to now?
which is
Why do we give any credence at all to a shmu'ah? You can verify there is a get, there
aiding.
isn't a get.
If there's kiddushin, there's no kiddushin, there's get, there's no get. Forgetting there's no question that you need Adam to mevatel to say she's Megoresha. Okay?
Yeah.
Because that's why the Panim Moshe explained our Mishnah. The Panim Moshe explained it, this whole thing of Megoresha, Hariza Megoresha, the call, that I'll just read inside. It's the Korban on the Mishnah. It says, that's Areshakai. Isha Yatzala kol Mikudesh, Vechachin Lasso la Alma, Elotosh Lavad. Chazar Yatzala Megoresha, Mizesh, Yatzala kol Mikudesh, Menorez Megoresha, Mutala kol. So if you give the Gittin, we only entertain a rumor, again, how substantial the room has to be, that's still a matter for us to really clarify. But we only rely on a rumor in the case of Gittin only to mevatel a rumor, a call for Kiddushin. But it sounds like if there's a chazaka, we know quite clearly this woman is married, we're not concerned for a call of Gittin. We're not concerned at all, it sounds like, according to the Korban Eder, sorry, that we're not for a call of Gittin. The only thing here which seems to be that probably would be bothering you, it sounds like, why are we even concerned for a call for Kiddushin? Okay? If you need, proper witnesses, two witnesses, that can't be related, etc., like that. But I assume it is because we've got Issur Eshet Ish here. And if it's a substantiated call, right, it has to be substantial. Like if it's a real, we talk about it, a call with some sort of substance. We've traced it back. We've, again, how we trace it back and to where we trace it back and what the origins must be, that seems to be debate how we understand this Gemara, and which I got a bit lost in. But let's say it's a class A rumor that can that we can, that we should be choshesh on. Well, we've got Issur Eshet Ish in place, so you have to be choshesh. Okay, that's the best I can prove. Okay, now the Gemara says this is halachi with aleph. Beit Shammai omrim lo yigresh adam et ishto. This is, we referenced this previously. Beit Shammai says you shouldn't mention divorce. Ela elim ken matzah bar erva, unless he finds a matter of immorality. That's the only grounds where he can divorce his wife. Shneamar ki matzah bar erva davar. That's exactly what the Torah says. However, Beit Hillel omer afilu ikticha tavshila. Even if she like burns some food in the kitchen, does something wrong that puts him off, we say Shneamar ki matzah bar ervat davar. So it's interesting about Davar, but it says, it's like, I'd read the Korban, it's Ervah, or Shar Davar Sirchon. So, O Ervat and Davar, as opposed to O Ervah. So he understands its broader basis. And however, Rabbi Kiva says, no, Afilu, even if he finds someone prettier, that could, he can divorce his wife. Okay, Shneimar, she just doesn't find favor in his eyes. So that's the full, I feel like, gamut of the opinion. So let's try and understand it now. In the Gemara, it says, "Vaha tani Beit Shammai omrim." Beit Shammai says, "Ein li ela yotze mishum erva." Now this bright seems to be appears to be contradict our Mishnah, because what did Beit Shammai say in the Mishnah? Has to be a matter of immorality. Here we have a bright that says Beit Shammai says, it goes here and covered prumim, and clothing are torn. And her arms are revealed. In other words, she's dressed quite immorally. What could can that also be around? That even you see Beit Shammai, pardon me, is allows it even further, more broader than just she did a matter of immorality. So Mama came into Beit Shammai. Now the way the Korban Eder explained this is different from Moshe once again. How did we resolve these the brayter and the Mishnah? So he explains Shelo Tomar. In other words, Beit Shammai has, if you like, there's three levels for Beit Shammai. Shelo Tomar hayotze mishum erva asu mishum dvar acher muteret. So the three levels, I'll explain according to the Korban Eder outside, is if it's matzah ba'evat davar, meaning mamash mary, you have to divorce her. Okay. If it's some issue of, let's call it, that touches on that, in that space, she's going out completely promiscuously, things like that, not Erevat Davar, then it's not, it doesn't have to divorce her, but if he does divorce her, then he can't remarry her. Okay. However, if it's if he divorce, in other words, he shouldn't be divorcing for anything else, but if he does divorce for anything else, then he's allowed to remarry her. Okay, so I'll just read you the Korban Eder inside, actually. I was going to be outside, but I'll show you inside. It says as follows: Shlotamar Brayta Kamar Kray Atul Shem Mishum Erva Tatzelech Achila. You should divorce her if it's Mash Erva Asul Lachzorba. Aval Mishum Devar Kein Erva, like in the periphery of it, Kegon Yotzev Rosh HaParua. Imatzia Bidi Eved. If he divorces her, then Asul Lachzorba. Aval Im Ein Sham Lo Erva, but Lo Davar. Mean there's no Erva and there's no Davar. Then Muter Lach Zorba should be able to get married. So that's like the three levels according to Beit Shammai. That's how I understand Shita Beit Shammai. Okay? That's now Amar Rav Shila to Kfar Tamratza. Kraya Makshi al Beit Shammai. You've got a pasuk to be cholak on Beit Shammai. It says, Lo yichol ba'al ha'rishon ashel shilcha shuv lekachta. Then once he divorces, he's not allowed to marry her. Mashma, it's only because he's divorced her and she's married as somebody else in the intervening part. He's not allowed to remarry her again. So the Gemara says, well, one second. According to Beit Shammai, he's not if he divorced her because he matzah ba ervat davar, a matter of immorality, that alone is the reason why he can't remarry her. Even if she doesn't go and marry somebody else in intervening time, in intervening period. It says, man, if you want to say Imla Osra Hakfar, he asura lo. Because again, according to Beit Shammai, the only reason why you can divorce her is based on immorality, and that alone is make asura to remarry her. So Ela kan kan anan kaimim liten alav belotase. In other words, the way Korman explains this is that it's to add an additional lotase. Meaning if according to Beit Shammai, he can only divorce her based on the Var Erava. Yet she already can't remarry her. She goes and marries somebody else. There's an additional law to aser, if you like, of lola kachta, like shuv lola kachta. You can't let her remarry her. Okay. Now the Gemara says, interesting last piece. K'tiv v'adava v'zavet zova. So this is referring to a nida or a zava. It says v'adava b'nidata. Now hadava sounds to be like a lashon of like nidui. So there's a kenim rishonim they thought to say hayomim tia b'nidata. That she should be in a state of nida, in a way, lo takhuv lo tifkos v'ad she tavo b'mayim. Until she goes to mikvah and she becomes tahor, she'll not put on makeup, nothing. Okay, I'll just show you here. Tia bin Natah, kemenudah ruchak min bala, as if she's been like a menudah, which is what it means. I don't really excommunicate, but like there's a big distance, if you like, placed between her and her husband. That's what they thought. No makeup, no looking pretty during the time of nida. However, Amar le Rabbi Akiva says, one second, Mishamraya. American, if you want to institute this practice on Israel, the husband's going to end up being maybe repulsed by her or, and put off by her if she's meant to make herself look ugly during this period or just not look, not put it different, well, ugly, but not care for herself up in that period. And what's going to happen? He's going to end up divorcing her and marry somebody else. Careful. The Gemara says, for Atya must clearly be that this is Kanim, like Beit Shammai. This is a Kanim that don't care for her appearance during this period of time, must be like Beit Shammai. Because her degrading appearance is not a grounds for divorce. So she can have a bad appearance half the month and they'll get back together and it's not a problem. However, the Rabbi Kiva says it must be like Beit Hillel. Now, this is an interesting piece here. What do you mean, like, what does it mean, like Beit Hillel? So, why don't you simply say Rabbi Akiva is like who? Like Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. Because Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, what did he say? He says, even if you find someone prettier in Ayatollah. So the fact that, I mean, that would be a much easier way to end the Gemara. The much easier way in the Gemara would say, oh, Rabbi Akiva is Leshitato because just being finding another pretty wife is grounds for divorce, and that's why we want to make sure she still looks pretty even during the entire duration of their marriage. She's either make us all feel presentable. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the question is, how do you understand Rabbi Akiva? Because if you remember, Rabbi Akiva says that. But how do you say Rabbi is like Beit Hillel? Because Beit Hillel says it's only if I feel like it has to be some substance to it that's throwing him off, like she burned the cooked food or something like that. So very interestingly here, the Kasha is actually the Kasha of the Rashba, who leaves it as a question. However, the Share Korban, it says, I'll just read it inside, if Al Yushalmi, how do we understand Yushalmi, the end of Yushalmi here? He's saying, Rabbi Kiva is working with Lashitat Beit Hillel, Hishiv, Lakach Ka'amar, the Hunatenanav Be'ba, Legarsha, Kolomar, meaning that if he starts, if he becomes, gets, be what's off put by her if you don't allow her to look presentable and nice and pretty during the nidda period, then he will start being medakdek acharei. Then he might start being more sensitive to her practices, and this will spill out to the other domains. Me'ata in makom lekushya Rashba. That's why. In other words, this is beautiful. Because what this is saying is even like I think it's even more like more deeply psychological here. In other words, you could say that Rebbe gives you the toy. She will look ugly. You find something pretty and game end of story. But Beit Hillel says it has to be still based on something, even if it's minor, like she burns his cook food. It's not as it doesn't go to the extent of Beit Hillel that Rebbe Kiv, that can be anything. So Rebbe Kiv's response at the end when said Rebbe Kiv is like Shittat Beit Rebbe Kiv is like sorry Rebbe Kiv is like Beit Hillel. He's saying he's working within the Svara of Beit Hillel. In other words, even Beit Hillel would agree in this situation that we should allow during the Nidda Perek to put makeup on. Why? Because it's not just he'll be off-put by her, but if as soon as the person's image of another individual changes, is tarnished, then their whole perspective of their practices and what they do will also be distorted as a result. I think it's a beautiful pshat in the end of the Gemara. So therefore, even Beit Hillel, if you don't let her look pretty, all these slight little things that he never really cared about will then start to bother him. And then he'll end up, that will be the grounds for divorce, even according to Beit Hillel. So that's why Beit says, really, according to every Beit Hillel, and even Beit Hillel, we've got to make sure she continues to look presentable and pretty during for the entire course of marriage, even during time that's needed. Okay, with that, we say, Ranach Perak HaMagarish, Gittin. All right,
Mazel
Mr.
tov.
Mazel
Mazel
tov, mazel tov.
tov. What are
Next.
we learning now?
Kiddushin. Last one left
Yep.
in Nashim.
No, because it says here at the end by me, it said by the Ritbas, sorry, Pnei Moshe, Acha Sheishlim Gitim, Tanich Nazir.
Ah, you have
But
that?
it is Kiddushin here by me after this.
It's Kiddushin. We do Kiddushin.
Yeah, we do Kiddushin. This was the Refuah before the
No.
Makkah.
No, that's how some people explain it, but there's a nice pshat I saw, I can't remember where I saw it before, is that the reason why they had to do Kiddushin before, Gittin before Kiddushin, otherwise people will think that the natural evolution is we go Kiddushin and then go Gittin. Right? People think, oh, Kiddushin will lead to Gittin. So therefore I had to go around to explain that yes, if there are situations where Gittin is necessary, but
Are
Kiddushin does not necessarily lead to
you talking about the Chachmei Chelm, or you talk about everybody?
it. Who?
The Chachmei Chelm, or you talk about everybody?
That shot that I gave you.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of
All
a
right.
thought is
When I
that?
tell you the Rav who said it, you might change your opinion, maybe. I don't know. All right. I'll tell you
Okay.
soon. All right. Kolto. Have a good
Thank you.
Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos, Mazel
Have a
Tov. Bye
great
bye.
Shabbos, everyone.
Good Shabbos.